Radio Prague News.
A new opinion poll suggests that presidential hopeful Miloš Zeman is quickly gaining on the frontrunner Jan Fischer. New criminal charges against former governor David Rath will be discussed at Monday's meeting of the Mandate and Immunity Committee. The Czech Education Minister is accused by the Supreme Audit Office of problematic bookkeeping and mismanagement of property. According to a poll conducted by PPM Faktum Research, Czech presidential hopeful Miloš Zeman is trailing Jan Fischer by only 1.4 percentage points. The agency announced Monday that the August figures are a jump from a poll conducted in July, which had Jan Fischer 4 percentage points ahead of Mr. Zeman, a former prime minister. The third place, according to PPM, is currently held by the economist Jan Švejnar, who has not announced his candidacy yet. Jan Fischer, the former head of the Czech caretaker government in 2009, announced on his Facebook page on Monday that he has the 50,000 signatures necessary to enter the presidential race. Mr. Zeman had done the same earlier. The Czech Parliament's Mandate and Immunity Committee will deliberate another police request to give former governor and Social Democratic MP David Rath for criminal investigation on Monday afternoon. The lower house committee had already approved criminal investigation into Mr. Rath in the spring in relation to corruption charges over the reconstruction of the Buštěhrad Chateau. This time, the police are seeking to investigate Mr. Rath on three other charges relating to purchases of equipment for a Kolín hospital, a nursing home in Kladno, and medical supplies for a hospital in Mladá Boleslav. The Czech Supreme Audit Office discovered inconsistencies in the Education Ministry's accounting for last year. An audit at the ministry found that expenses worth 117.2 million crowns were not properly accounted for. The Supreme Audit Office also said that there were significant problems with the ministry's property management. The total cost of all the inconsistencies revealed by the audit was established to be over 29 billion crowns. The Education Ministry claims that it did not breach the law or budget restrictions, and that the problems were the result of only formal mistakes of its accounting department. Two major sewer accidents on Sunday caused road closings and fears of water outages in northern and northwestern districts of Prague. Prague Water and Sewer Company is working on repairs on Evropská Street in Prague's Davice district. A water pipeline burst resulting from topsoil falling in six places at a nearby field. Over 10,000 people may have to face disruption in water supply. Repairs on Evropská should be finished by midnight on Monday. Another sewer accident on Prosecká Street caused a crater approximately 5 meters wide and 3 meters deep to form in the middle of the road. Czech-American writer and illustrator Petr Sýs was awarded the Hans Christian Andersen Award on Saturday as an illustrator whose work has made a lasting contribution to children's literature. The Hans Christian Andersen Award, given out by Swiss-based International Board on Books for Young People, is the highest international recognition for authors and illustrators of children's books. Mr. Sýs has joined the ranks of famous children's books authors such as Astrid Lindgren and Tove Jansson, and three Czech illustrators who received the award in 1968, 1980, and most recently in 1992. The first deputy to the environmental minister, Jakub Kulišek, died at the weekend at the age of just 31. The official was in charge of the economics and environmental policy at the ministry and had held the job for less than a year. News website iDNES cited sources as saying Mr. Kulišek drowned during a kayaking trip on the Austrian River Enns in Styria. The environment ministry, Tomáš Chalupa, expressed sorrow over the tragedy, calling it a huge loss. And now for the weather. Today will be partly cloudy with possible rain showers early in the day and sunny skies in the afternoon. Highs will be between 18 to 22 degrees Celsius. I'm Masha Walensky, and that's all for the news.
Hello, this is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio with me, Maggie Lund. Coming up in our program today, We speak to Czech MEP Jan Zahradil, who will this week attend the US Republican Party convention in Tampa Bay. Then we bring you a roundup of the latest sports news from the Czech Republic. And later, the Czech silver medal kayaker from the London Olympic Games reflects on his experience earlier this summer. All that and more coming your way, so stay tuned. Czech MEP Jan Zahradil will appear at the US Republican Party convention in Tampa Bay, Florida, later this week. The convention will formally nominate Mitt Romney as the party's presidential candidate, and Mr. Zahradil, who is a deputy chair of a conservative group in the European Parliament, says conservatives would welcome Mitt Romney's becoming the next US president. Jan Zahradil will appear at a panel entitled Hey America, Don't Take This Road. Jan Richter spoke to the Czech MEP and asked him what his message to the Republican delegates will be.
We decided to deliver a message to delegates of the convention, trying to describe our view on what's going on in Europe, what are the real roots of the crisis of single currency, where are the bottlenecks and blind ways in the European integration. And we want to present a realistic approach to the European integration, because we think that there's a lot of misunderstanding in the United States. We can, all the time, we can hear from the State Department that they are very much in favor of united Europe speaking one voice. We want to deliver a little bit different message. We want to show that it's not that easy, and that the European integration also has its the troubled point. So I hope that it will be interesting for visitors and for delegates, and they will be able to hear a bit different voice, let's say a voice of dissent from what they usually hear from Europe.
Do you think that your group, or let's say the European Conservatives, would they prefer Mitt Romney as president to the second term of Barack Obama?
Well, of course, it's no secret that we rather keep our fingers crossed for Mr. Romney. Because if not for anything else, that because we share with the Republican Party the same international organization, which is the IDU, the International Democratic Union. But this is not the only reason. We really think that Republican administrations traditionally put more emphasis on the agenda, which is also very sympathetic and very close to us, like lowering taxation, debureaucratization, deregulation, and also more active role of US in the world, which is something we always welcome.
Some people in this region complain that the nations like Poland and Czech Republic and Slovakia and other countries have been marginalized by the Obama administration. Do you think that would change if Mitt Romney gets elected the president of the United States?
Well, I hope that this will change somehow. Of course, I do not want to underestimate President Obama's administration. But the truth is that, for instance, during his presidency, one of a major and, in my view, most important strategic projects, which was this anti-missile defense project between or amongst U.S., Poland and the Czech Republic, has been cancelled. And this is, in my feeling, it was a big mistake. It's a big pity, because that would have had a very great strategic impact on the position of particularly the Czech Republic. So I hope that possible Romney administration, of course, if he's elected, will be able to deliver more realistic approach and negotiate bilaterally with U.S. allies in Central and Eastern Europe, let's say, more actively than the current administration.
MEP Jan Zahradil, ending that report by Jan Richter. And now we'll bring you a roundup of the latest sports news from around the Czech Republic with Jan Wellinger.
And we begin with the women's javelin in the Diamond League. Barbora Šputáková has won the competition for the second time in her career. The Czech competitor, who also won gold at the London Olympic Games this summer, defeated her rivals in Birmingham at the weekend with a throw of 66.8 meters. But she has to take part in one more event on September 7th in Brussels, points out daily Mladá Fronta Dnes. Šputáková first won the Diamond League in 2010. Turning to football, Czech international Petr Jiráček, picked up by the German club Wolfsburg from Viktoria Plzeň last year, is reportedly Hamburg-bound. On Monday, the player will complete a medical exam, and if he passes, he is expected to sign for 4 years. The contract will still need final approval by the German club, expected on Tuesday. According to sources, the club will acquire the player for €4 million. The Czech midfielder was one of the best players on the Czech squad earlier in the summer, scoring 2 goals at Euro 2012, one of which clinched the squad's advance to the competition's knockout stages. In other news from the German Bundesliga, Bayer Leverkusen are seeking €96,000 in damages, the equivalent of around 2.4 million crowns, from assailants who attacked Czech player Michal Kadlec in April. The club has given the duo until the end of September, to pay off the amount, writes Czech news website IDNES. The damages were tabulated along the lines of the player's salary plus bonuses. Godlets missed 2 weeks after suffering a badly broken nose by assailants aged 20 and 24 who attacked him at a discotheque in Köln. He had to play the rest of the season wearing a special protective mask. The police had earlier records on both of the attackers. One of them received a ban in 2010 from all of Germany's football stadiums. In the Czech top flight, the Gambrinus Liga, Plzeň and defending champion Slovan Liberec tied for first place at 10 points, won their respective games at the weekend. Plzeň defeated Mladá Boleslav by a score of 2-0, while Liberec beat Českie Budějovice by the same margin. The wins kept them ahead of Sparta Prague, who are in second spot, also at 10 points, and Jablonec, also at 10 on goal difference. But Sparta face Jablonec later on Monday, meaning the top of the table will change again by the end of the day. Příbram, meanwhile, continue at the bottom of the standings with only 3 points in 5 games. The team has earned 3 draws and suffered 2 defeats. And finally in tennis, Petra Kvitová beat Maria Kirilenko 7-6, 7-5 on Saturday to win the New Haven Open, the Czech star's second WTA tournament title in 3 weeks. The second-seeded Kvitová trailed 5-2 in the second set but turned things around with 5 consecutive games for the victory. That avenged a loss to the Russian in the Olympic quarterfinals. And on Monday, the final Grand Slam of the season, the U.S. Open, gets underway. Petra Kvitová will face Slovenia's Polona Herzog in the first round. And that's all the sport for today.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Coming up next, this week's one-on-one with Vavšinec Radilek.
Vavra Hradilek was the first athlete from the Czech national team to clinch a medal at the 30th Summer Olympic Games in London this year. The kayaker, who was a vibrant personality and is both thoughtful and sharp on issues, discusses what it was like to win silver as well as how he hopes to use his newfound fame. I begin by asking him how he was dealing with all the media interest.
It's pretty crazy, I would say, because someone, I think Ondras Sinek, the silver medalist from Skulls, he told me it's going to be a bit of a mission to get over all the stuff I'm doing. But yeah, it's hard. I didn't expect anything like this. But yeah, so far I've been enjoying it and trying to manage to come to most of the places because I know that I have to take it as an opportunity to get maybe some money and sponsors.
You were the first Czech to seize the medal at the London Olympics. How did it feel to be the first one?
To be honest, I didn't really think before my race that I didn't really feel any pressure that could be a first medal for a Czech team. But at the end, the journalist told me that, so I realized how big a result and how big success it was. And yeah, so it made me happy, maybe even more than it would have been like third in a row or something like that.
What fool of me, I didn't even say congratulations to you. So congratulations.
Thanks.
Shake hands. What did you find the most surprising about your medal?
As I said, probably the media appearance and media. They all want me to get the interviews as well how many people back in the Czech Republic were actually watching the Olympics, and everyone, I think all 16 days of competition, they were just joined to television and following the Olympics, which was surprising for me. And but yeah, it's normal because people are used to listen just about the politics and all this stuff, so Olympics were probably a little bit more relaxing to them.
When you won the medal, it was probably one of the moments when many of the Czechs would feel proud of their home country. What makes you proud of your country?
Well, I was definitely proud of the Czech Republic, especially on the podium. When you see the Czech flags in that massive crowd which came to the venue, the grandstands, there was like 15,000 people and a lot of Czech flags. So, yeah, the people realizing that the little country can do this, produce the good athletes, so that's good.
What is the difference between Vavra Hradílek, a kayak slalom athlete, and Vavra Hradílek, the kayak slalom Olympic medalist?
I don't think it's a big difference. Maybe now people know me, that's the biggest difference, but for me personally, I don't think I'm going to change, no.
When does the whitewater season start?
Basically, in last 4 years, I've been traveling a lot to New Zealand, Australia, for the summer camps during our winter. So for me, it starts all in January. There's some little races to warm up before the season back in New Zealand. But the most important season starts in April, the national trials. In Czech Republic, which we fight for like 3 spots in the Czech national team, and but pretty much I do paddle all over the year. I think maybe I have a break in around October, November, maybe break from paddling. At the end, it's all around the kayaking.
Do you prefer to practice on natural river, natural canal, or the man-made one? I don't know how to call it.
Yeah, man-made is good. I mean, last year's most important races are at the man-made courses, which is quite good for training, because most of the time you can use the elevator to go back and you can circulate on the course. But for me, I really appreciate the times in the natural river, because it's something what you don't find at the concrete basins. You know, you have a nature, there's the spirit of the water and of the nature. It's very nice, and there's a less and less courses like this. So whenever I'm on the course, like maybe in next 2 weeks, I will be paddling Lipno, where the dam will release the water to the course underneath. It's like 6 kilometers, class 5 white water, which is going to be really fun. So yeah, I'm definitely glad to be going back on the nature courses.
Number 5 is the most difficult, right?
Well, yeah, I think we can say that.
You became quite famous recently. Do you try to keep your private life out of the eye of the public?
Yeah, it's been really recent, so I didn't really organize my head yet. I have to think what to say, what to do, where to go. But I think private life is important and shouldn't be shown in the media, for sure. Well, we just went for a burger and there was a newspaper and it was like my picture with a like half naked body, so so it was pretty funny. It was a gossip newspaper, so I didn't really know why.
It's part of the fame. You have to count on it.
No, I think slalom kayaking is not such a big sport that they would follow us till like next Olympics, I would say. But that's why I'm trying to like do all the stuff I'm invited to and do a lot of media appearance, that I can actually raise the sport a little bit, not just to me personally, but I think it's important for our sport, because I think sport is great and people really enjoyed watching kind of slalom in the Olympics, for sure.
That's great of you. I remember that something like that Martina Sablikova did when she won the first medal and became well known.
Yeah. Well, there is a big project which could be done in a future, and it's a rebuilding of a Prague Troyer course. If that would happen, I think it would be great for the sport because there's completely new construction of the course, very good for training, and yeah, we would just step up for sure. So if my silver medal at the Olympics could help at least a little bit for this, I would be super happy.
Besides your sports career, what is on the top of your priority list?
Well, I think there's many important things in your life, and one of the most important thing is a family, to be surrounded by nice people and good friends, and that's the most important thing. And there's a lot of other stuff I want to do because I feel good after that.
Definitely you have a power to affect, if not change, some people's minds right now, because you're their hero, you're our hero here. What would you change if you had a power like that?
Well, I'm not considering myself as a powerful man with this, so I've never really thought about this. It's a pretty difficult, tough question.
Okay, I'll ask you another one. What was the way your parents used to call you when you were a bad boy when you were little?
Well, my parents, they were always telling me like Vavra, Vavra, because my original name, it's a little bit more difficult to pronounce it fast and quickly, and maybe when I was doing bad stuff they had to be quick, so.
And the good way, is there any way, like when they wanted to say you're a good boy?
I don't realize anything like that. They just kept telling me like Vavra, the same.
This is the way you prefer the people to call you, Vavra.
I just don't really recognize. I always find it really funny when someone trying to call me Vavrina. I like it for sure, but it's sometimes funny.
So I'm glad our guest today on One on One Show was Vavřinec, Vavra Hradílek, and I hope to meet you soon here. Have a nice day and enjoy everything you do in your life.
Thanks, it was great.
Vavřinec Hradílek there, talking to Jaromír Pavlík. We're now rounding off our regular weekday programme with a rerun of another part of Pavla Horáková's popular Czech language course, The ABCs of Czech.
From head to toe, that is how we explore the Czech language in our programme. More precisely, we concentrate on Czech idioms which refer to parts of the human body. Our focus today is on the word krk, which translates as both neck and throat. So if you say
bolí mě v krku,
you have a sore throat, but if you say
bolí mě za krkem,
it means you have a stiff neck. In popular phrases, the neck symbolizes something that bears a burden, such as in the idiom
mít něco na krku,
to have something on your neck, which can be translated as to be lumbered or saddled with something. The exact opposite is
mít něco z krku,
literally to have something off your neck, meaning to have something off your hands, to be done with something.
Mít někoho z krku
is to have somebody off your back, especially a person who tends to
viset někomu na krku,
to stick to someone and burden them with their presence. But idioms containing the word
krk
also arise in situations related to eating. If the breadwinner in the family says
musím živit pět hladových krků,
it means he has five mouths to feed. The phrase
už mi to leze krkem,
literally it crawls up my throat, means I'm sick and tired of it. The expression
mít něčeho až po krk,
to be fed up with something, probably has a similar origin. Another idiom,
být v něčem až po krk,
to be up to one's neck in something, usually implies unpleasant things, such as debts or troubles. Historically, the neck also signifies something easily vulnerable, often in phrases referring to the practice of decapitating.
Přijít o krk,
to lose one's neck, means to die, to be killed. If someone's life is in danger, Czechs might say
jde mu o krk,
his life is at risk, it may cost him his head. Adventurers and brave people often risk their lives.
Nasazují vlastní krk,
or literally put their neck at risk. A similar expression is
dám na to krk,
I can bet my own neck, I could swear to it. But that is only a saying, no one really means it today. As we said earlier, What Czechs refer to as
krk
sometimes means throat in English, such as in the idiom
položit někomu nůž na krk,
or hold a knife to someone's throat, threaten somebody at knife point, meaning to give them an ultimatum. Of course, there are many more expressions containing the word
krk,
but we are running out of time, I'm afraid. But before we sign off, we'll give you something to practice until next time. It is a popular Czech tongue twister.
Strč prst skrz krk.
Or thrust your finger through your throat. Thanks for listening and please don't hurt yourselves while you practice.
Naschledanou!
That edition of the ABCs of Czech was the final part of Radio Prague's English show for today. All our programmes are available online at radio.cz. If you have any comments or questions, don't hesitate to get in touch. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or by post to Vinohradská 12, postal code 12099, Prague 2. But for now, from me, Maggie Lund, and all of the rest of us here at Radio Prague, thank you for joining us and goodbye.